This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Right, hello New Zealand and welcome to another episode of Turn the Page. My name's Mark Pacey from the Wairarapa Archive. Today we're taking you, we're not taking you through three stories, we're doing something entirely different. Sorry, I was on autopilot then. At the moment I've got an awful lot of things on, so trying to organise a few more, you know, print out a whole lot more stories, get them ready for this. I needed a bit of a break. So I had a chat to my friend Mr. Don Farmer, who has done two books now. He asked me to do a recording of his first one, so I asked if I could do a recording of a second one. So over the next 12 weeks, we will be rummaging through his life scrapbook. We'll be doing one chapter per episode. They're quite longish, and I'll play music again in between it. Again, because I will be recording it, if I make a mistake or anything, I will go back and repeat it. So just bear with me if I do that. So that's us for the next 12 weeks, which is good. After the end of that, all these other projects will be completed, all things going well, and I can get some breathing room and go back to doing what it is I normally do. Just to give you an idea, I've got two books that I've just finished that I'm about to launch. I've got a memorial that I'm about to unveil. You'll hear more about that later. And I'm also doing four events for the Wellington Heritage Festival, all within the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to be very, very busy. So this is, like I said, this is Don's latest book. Hopefully he's working on another one. He's a brilliant, brilliant author. It's a follow-up to his other one, obviously, and it's all about, you know, growing up and all the different things that he experienced. So it's going to be a lot of fun going through that one, and at the end we'll turn it into an audiobook of sorts. So before I get into that, well, today we're not going to read any of the actual chapters. We're going to do the preface and the introduction just to give you an idea of what's actually coming up. But before I do any of that, I'm going to play a piece of music that's hopefully tying into all of this. So we're all about going back, memories and things like that. So this is, and I'm going to get a little bit of maybe negative feedback from some people who are rock fans, because it has suddenly become very, very fashionable to dislike this band. I disagree. I think they're brilliant. And it's a good song, good lyrics, and very appropriate. This is Photograph by Nickelback.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I picked the prison owner, fixed it up. I never knew we ever went without. The second floor is hard for sneaking out. And this is where I went to school. Most of the time had better things to do. Criminal record says I've broken twice. I must have done it half a dozen times. I wonder if it's too late. Should I go back and try to graduate? Life's better now than it was back then. If I was them, I wouldn't let me in. Oh, 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 oh God, I every memory of looking out the back door. I have a photo album spread out on my bedroom floor. It's time to say it, time to say it. Goodbye. Time to say it.
That was Nickelback doing Photograph. They have one of the best sort of bottom end sounds of any bands I've heard. So the drums and the bass sounds really, really good. All right, on to the first bit, which is it the preface or is it the introduction? It is the preface. So, preface. It is said that everyone has a story to tell, and that is true. But also true is the sorry fact that many, many stories never get told beyond a fireside chat. There are, of course, stories that are best left unsaid, even best forgotten, because not everything that happens makes a good memory or deserves to take its place in history. But many others do, and that is why I have written this narrative, Rummaging Through Life's Scrapbook. Billionaires paying to blast their way into space, the antics of politicians and the achievements of sporting greats dominate the headlines, but not everyone is a billionaire, a prime minister, or an All Black. Yet they have a story, or stories, to tell. Stories worthy of recording for future generations to learn from, laugh at, and enjoy. After publication of my first book, Walking Back to Happiness, A Wired Upper Boy's Story, people approached me asking if there would be a sequel. That book was mostly done about my very happy childhood in Greytown and ended when I left primary school at age 12 years old. A sequel to that would necessitate stepping out into my teenage years. My response was, "You must be joking." And anyone who has lived through their teens and who recalls what they got up to would nod their heads and agree with me. But the seed to again put pen to paper was sown, and this time I decided to rummage through the scrapbook of life and lift out some of the true stories that lurked there. The scrapbook containing all the short stories written here doesn't exist as a physical entity. It is the rekindling of stories I was told over many years, mingled with the stories others have retained in their own memories and contributed. Most are stories handed down orally through the years, as mankind has done since the Stone Age, and whose remarkable accuracy is often discovered when people, like myself, research papers from long ago or take on tasks like compiling a family tree. Whereas the stories in this book are of true events, as are names used, it is necessary to recreate some of the first-person dialogue used. Surprisingly for me, a lot of actual word-perfect dialogue was confirmed from old diaries or letters, such as that used in the story of Martin's amazing Jersey coup. A researcher's tool, that of having the contents of a story confirmed by more than one participant in an event, also helped enormously to ensure the accuracy of stories. At the core of this book is the everyday happenings of people who live or did live in my own stamping ground, the Wired Upper Valley. Whereas Greytown inevitably features in more than one story, after all, it was where I lived for many years. It moves beyond that town's borders to recall happenings elsewhere in the valley. The stories span ages, with no set criteria other than being, hopefully, an enjoyable read. Likewise, they are not in chronological order. There is no cradle-to-the-grave aspects to the book, but simply an attempt to mix things up wherever and whenever they happened and to keep things fresh. It is the author's hope that readers will ponder their own stories, open their own scrapbooks of life, and share them with others, perhaps in print. That ensures that history, the history of those who didn't become billionaire space travellers, can be preserved. Don Farmer, November 2021. Right, that actually wasn't hugely long. Next one's slightly longer. So, in keeping with our songs about memories and things, I have to do this one because our leader, Michael, also loves this band. I'm warming to them. I'm getting there. This is Yesterday by the great Beatles.
Yesterday, All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
I don't need to tell you what that song was. Anyway, moving on. Preface, introduction. I better say it all officially. Introduction. A scrapbook, according to the dictionary, is a place where you paste scraps of paper, scribble little notes or messages. It is a place in which to preserve the butt ends of whatever topics take your fancy. For the author, his scrapbook compiled during his younger years were littered with newspaper cuttings, pasted random thoughts throughout the pages, and that, even with the best imagination, could not be linked to one another. There would be the thumbnail portraits of the latest All Blacks team to be named gracing the same page as news of a report regarding escaped prisoners on the run from Mount Eden prison, that rubbed shoulders with reporters on the capture of Nazi fugitive Adolf Eichmann. These scrapbooks haven't survived the ages. With the passing of years and numerous shifts of house and home, they have unfortunately been lost, or indeed themselves have been scrapped. What remains, though, is more important, the notes tucked away in the scrapbook of the mind, the scrapbook of life which we all have. Readers, I am sure, will agree it is a remarkable scrapbook. Often during the day, something will trigger a memory. It may be something that happened decades earlier and which had slumbered in our minds ever since, hardly ever called on to awaken. At night, the scrapbook can reopen as we sleep, with snippets from our lives intermingled with a baffling array of other images. We call these dreams. This book, Rummaging Through Life's Scrapbook, is a series of short stories, all true, and mostly selected to entertain. Inspiration was drawn in part from the incredible records compiled by the author's maternal grandmother, Frances Bassett, known mostly as Francie, who began a diary come scrapbook on August 30, 1939, and continued it for the most part day by day until June 23, 1968. She started the diary 2 days before the outbreak of World War II with the inscription, "My Journal. Let no curious eye look within." Well, sorry, Gran. The author's curious eye has certainly looked within. The diary entries record the anxious thoughts of the family during the war, as the tide of the war ebbed and flowed for years before the Allied forces were eventually successful. Final victory, and the manner in which it was received and wider upper households leap from the pages almost with an audible sigh of relief. But for more than that, the diary is a detailed look into the lives of a wired up a farming family. Francie's despair when things go wrong, when crops fail, or prices fluctuate. Nope. Or price fluctuations impact the income spring from the pages. But then so does her delight when things go well. Her success in establishing a poultry farm to help bolster the meagre income from a dairy herd, and her hunt for hens laying away in paddocks, made their way onto the pages. Those diary entries helped set the scene for the first short story in this book, Martin's Amazing Jersey Coo. But the joy of the story really came from its telling by Francie to her grandson from her lounge chair long after she had left the farm and had become widowed. Depending on what readers decide to believe, the coo was indeed amazing. An accomplished gate crasher, or simply a cow owned by an extremely crafty owner. The extraordinary generosity of a railway worker's workmates is the topic of the story of Trackside Hunger Games at Matarawa. Their charitable ways, or perhaps their expertise in taking the mickey, averted a lunchtime crisis and resulted in the Ganger extended a rare treat, rewarding them with an extended lunch break. No, I read that wrong. That's not Ganger. That's Ganger. Let's do that again. The charitable ways, or perhaps their expertise in taking the mickey, averted a lunchtime crisis, resulted in the Ganger extending a rare treat, rewarding them with an extended lunch break. But was their generosity a case of overkill? Further into the book is the story behind one of the most loved bands that ever graced a stage in Wairarapa. The Alibis were gifted musicians with an astonishing repertoire of over 300 songs and who captured a huge and loyal following wherever they performed. Among their favourite songs to sing were those made famous by John, Paul, George and Ringo, the Beatles. And on at least one occasion, swooning young girls gave the Alibis the same sort of screaming welcome accorded to the Fab Four from Liverpool. Readers will learn it somewhat surprised them, to say the least. The joy of being a child emerges quite clearly from the story Happy Days at Cross Creek. Much has been written about the Iron Horses, a.k.a. the giant fell engines that puffed and pushed their way up the steep Rimutaka incline. But life at the creek, through the eyes of the children that lived there, is a story just as indelible as that of the fells. How the children came away unscathed from Sunday morning breakneck speed rides down the incline is anybody's guess. Just what they did is revealed along with the responses of their mothers. Elsewhere, readers will discover why hard-case Martinborough driver Len Patton came to be known throughout Wairarapa, and much further afield by his nickname Bimbo, and the endless escapades of Bimbo during what life could only be described as a colourful and adventurous life. Just how the running down of a clock's battery at an appropriate hour earned a cadet reporter the wrath of his boss, although he was entirely innocent of any wrongdoing, is disclosed. It may have had something to do with the fact that the night before, chief reporter Mike Sims and other senior writers included in this book's author, had been invited to the last night of trading at the old Midland Hotel in Masterton. The wake held for the old pub had been a celebration to remember, and in the morning, one to regret as far as Mike's health was concerned. A story closer to home for the author is that of Slimy Eyes and Hangin' Pants. Hardly a flattering name to bestow on a young girl, but that's what happened to a toddler who sought affection from an older brother. It didn't persist for too long, thankfully, but there is an outside chance that it helped to toughen up the little girl, who was to become a force to be reckoned with, and who certainly had a mind of her own. Perhaps the hardest decision made by the author was to include a story on which face value is not in keeping with the humorous nature of other stories in the book, but one that needed to be told. It involves the search for a missing nurse, an extremely popular but troubled young lady, much loved and very good at her job. The story was included because it is a shining example of the great community spirit that existed and still exists in Wairarapa. Literally hundreds and hundreds of men, women and children gave up complete days of their lives in search for the nurse, on foot and horseback. Other stories include the melting of a hard-bitten Featherston shopkeeper's heart, how a girl won a small talent quest and went on to record a smash hit, and the brave performances of a young man facing a champion boxer in the ring. A likable old rogue named True Blue signs off the last full story in the book. He was a ratbag with 9 lives who became a bit of a local legend. Most of True Blue's flame. Most of True Blue's fame arose from his ingrained love of the bottle, but he had the good grace to oppose overindulgence, and when leaned on to do so by petitioners calling for the illegal shanty to be closed down. Rummaging Through Life's scrapbook concludes with a series of small stories, each too short to become a chapter in their own right, but likewise engaging snippets. They tell how a teacher tripped up badly, how a much-respected man managed to worm his way out of claiming a dubious pub raffle prize, why a girlfriend was flabbergasted to learn her underwear had supposedly been gifted to a male friend and a much-loved community-minded man who became the first man in town to own a black-and-white television set and a brand-new Austin truck. So that's the first two bits. I'll go through it all and make sure there's no naughty words and stuff in there that I won't accidentally say on air, which would be not too good. I enjoy this little radio show. I don't want to have to stop doing it because of a slip of the tongue. So that's pretty much all of it. I'm now going to play, it's sort of a memory piece of music. It's the one that plays at the end of Return of the Jedi, when, you know, there's, you've got peace returning and there's the funeral pyre for Mr. Anakin. It's a very nice piece of music. So this, it's got a double name. It's called Leia's News and Light of the Force. Thank you. was Leia's News, Light of the Force. The second half of that one is the more somber one. One of the greatest soundtracky tracks. It's Monday. It's one of the nicest pieces of music certainly I've ever heard. I really quite enjoy that one. So that's the plan for the next 12 weeks, I believe it is. We've got 12 chapters. For the next 12 weeks, we will be going through Don Farmer's scrapbook of memories, which will be really cool. Really looking forward to it. And there's some great stuff in here. So that'll cover us until, I don't know, what's 12 weeks from now? Be next year, wouldn't it? 3 months? 12? Anyway, we'll work it out. And we'll play, you know, we'll do the other things. We'll play the bits of music. We'll see if we can work in themed jokes as well. We haven't done the jokes for a while. I know you're missing them. So that's pretty much it for today. We're on time. Have a brilliant week. And we will see you again on Monday to start going through this really, really good book. Have a good one.